Ladies and gentlemen, welcome inside After Hours Sports. My name is Brandon Rosenthal, and alongside me, as always, is Eric Garcia and Social Mike. Gentlemen, what is cracking? What's happening?
Yo, yo.
To episode six.
What up? Yeah, man, what up?
No?
It's good to be back. It's been a minute.
Yep. It has been a minute. Yeah, man.
We back.
It's been a minute. Yeah, like Zach, just like AD, we back.
I'm back. He said, that's the best one.
You know, he said, I'm back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, it wasn't a fax. It wasn't, you know, a 95 fax like MJ, but it is a dragon. He's back. We're back. And this might be one of the last Zoom pods, you know, like as the world gets, you know, more opening, you know, more normalized, maybe we can actually get together in person and have this stuff happening face to face, which would be it's much needed for me. I would really love that. And I'm sure our listeners would like it too. And so the energy would be, you know, everybody's been on a Zoom call for the last fucking 12 months.
Jesus Christ. Exactly.
Pretty much.
You know, so it's been our lives. So we got three, maybe four segments today we're going to talk about. We're going to break this show up into three parts. We have number one, we'll talk about the NBA. We're going to talk about the Lakers. We're going to quick shout out to Russ as well. Don't think we're not going to talk about that. Then we're going to hop into Nyerland, discuss what they did with Trey Lance, the future Jimmy G. And then we're going to just check in on the Dodgers, check in on the Mets, see what's happening in the baseball realm. And if there's enough time, we'll talk about Canelo, the little Mr. Cinnamon. And he did his thing over the weekend. He's looking super strong as usual. And maybe I'll even throw a little love to Rory at the end of the show. So for getting it done at Quail Hollow. So let's start at the NBA.
Let's go.
And I was going to start with the Lakers and the NBA standings, but I think we need to start with Russ.
Because Russ was on some, you know, super
and look,
shit.
And maybe he won't be the A block for a lot of other shows. But I think with us, he needs to be, because setting that triple double record, 182 triple doubles, is something special. It's not a championship. We all know that, you know, it's not the Hall of Fame, but a record that has lasted for so long, and the players that have gotten triple doubles before him, you know, who have been like, you know, the purebred triple double getters, right? Like we're talking about Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, but there's always been one guy who they all look up to, which has been Oscar Robertson. And he's been doing it. You know, that record stood for a very, very long time. Like, it's a very long time. I don't have the exact number of years in front of me, but, you know, it's 40 years, something like that. It's crazy.
It's the big O. You know what I mean?
You know,
47.
Exactly. Yeah, 47. Exactly. Oscar Robertson didn't retire in the 80s, dog. Like, this dude played in the 60s. You know, so, like, for him to break that record and to do it as a guard, after so many surgeries, you know, on his knees, and to have that athleticism potentially taken from you, but it wasn't. And he persevered and became, you know, the triple double king. I'm proud to be a witness to this.
Yes, sir.
It seems like you are too, Eric, which is dope.
For sure. I mean, look, if we ever had a super fan, you know how there are shows that they have that person that sends you an episode of your show from a couple years back. For a fact, I know if we mentioned it numerous times here, but I can at least guarantee you, what was it, 2017, 18, his MVP years, 2017, I think it was, his MVP year when he had, you know, was averaging the triple-double. I remember us having that conversation. I said, maybe I'm the last motherfucker in America that still just gets super excited for triple-doubles because I fucking love them. You know, that's when we were breaking down, is it a big deal? Was it not? That kind of shit.
I do remember that.
And I'm just like, dude, I fucking love him. And I understand, like you said right now, that maybe the league or people are moving on as far as from that being a big deal, right? People are kind of saying, like, you know, because of the stat padding. But to me, he didn't just get a couple triple-doubles in a season and now he's a big deal. He averaged a triple-double four out of the last five fucking seasons. And he just, again, broke a record that just has been standing since forever. So we know how selfish players are. We know how superstars run this league. Why the fuck hasn't another guy been able to step pad his way to triple-double king? Because it's still hard as motherfuck. Because it's a fucking, it's a thing you got to be determined to do. You don't just accidentally get triple-doubles. You know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't happen. Because
they're hard to do, Eric. You're right.
You're giving something up when you're taking something else on. That's just the way the game goes. You know what I'm saying? So for the fact that he's been a scoring guy too, and having, you know, the assists he has and all these kind of things, I mean, Yeah, I'm super fucking excited. Like you said, I'm not one of those guys that's going to be down on Russ. I get why he could be tough to he seems like he might just be too hardcore in the locker room, maybe, or just a difficult man to work with. But as far as what he's been able to accomplish in this league, I feel like most of us as fans, as we watched, you know, we just saw the NFL draft and we're going to cover it later. We like to set limits and barriers and expectations for people, like from the jump, like we're already saying this person's going to be that when he hasn't played a minute in the league, that kind of shit. And he's definitely one of those players that I think most people set a very low bar for what he was going to be able to accomplish in this fucking league. You know what I mean? And he's a guy.
That's a great point.
He's a guy that said, motherfuck all of that. And that's why, to me, you know, I tell you, some guys put a chip on their shoulder themselves. You know what I mean? Because they just need it. And that's not a knock. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to get yourself ready.
Right.
But this is a guy that really, I love that he's been able to do shit his, from the dress, from the whatever the fuck you want to call it. He does shit his way. And he's fucking, he's a real one. For sure, he's a real one. And I think the league, like you said, Brandon, one of the best things that you said about Just Punch for me is I'm just super happy that I was able to fucking witness it. Because when people say, was it a big deal to you? I want to be the guy that says, fuck yeah, it was.
Yeah. And before I flip it over to Mike, like, you know, like when I play 2K and I played a lot of 2K over the years. And when you create a player, all you want to do is average a triple double, man. You know, like when that, you know, like it's a sense of pride thing. It means you're doing everything on the court, you know, like, and the guys who can't get a triple double, like points wise, it's a pride to them because like you can get 10 blocks, you can get, you know, it just shows how active you are on the court. We already gave our opinions. Mike, what do you think about this triple double record? How do you feel about it?
Super happy for us. Of course, Homer and me, UCLA, you know, UCLA players. So definitely super happy for him. You know, big accomplishment.
Yes, sir.
You guys basically touched on a lot of points that, you know, I feel the same about. But I do want to add a few things. I think I want to just piggyback off what Eric said as far as like when he got drafted, I felt like there was a lot of people that were saying, oh, OKC reached, right? Because he was a lottery pick. Exactly. And they were at best saying like, oh, maybe end of the first or second round, you know, pick when he got drafted. He for sure, I think, has exceeded, if not all, a lot of people's expectations. And I think was it Eric or you, Brandon, that said something about the selfishness of him, you know, because he takes a lot of shots. But shit, the other night he had, what, 11 or somewhere like less than 20 points, but he had 24 assists.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He just gets it
like,
done.
What? 24 assists. Like,
24 assists. He's had multiple you know what assists. I
mean? Like, but look, what?
20,
that, that's assist crazy. Game.
That's that dope that you crazy. Mentioned that because a 24 assists.
That is fucking insane.
What would you equate that to? That's a 50 burger, right? Like that's 50 points.
Hell yeah.
I mean, you're at with 24 assists, you're at least getting 48 points, and that's all two pointers. You imagine that Russ is at least getting some threes, right? The Wizards have a lot of 3-point shooters, and the NBA, the way it's going, like shit, even Russ shoots like 4 a game, and he's terrible. Yeah. You know, like so. For sure, at least 50 points he's responsible for. And how many points did he have that game, Mike? Like 15 or 20?
Was something like that. Like it was less than 20 for sure. I know it was probably like somewhere in like maybe the, you know, the 13 to 15 range, I want to say. I don't recall exactly, but I mean, the 24 assists is that stood out for me. Like, shit.
He's quite a special player. And is he the guy that you want, like, you know, 5 seconds left to make the best decision? I mean, there's other guys than him.
But yeah, I was gonna say depends.
He's very capable of making that decision. And maybe even the best quality about Westbrook, he's like, of course it's going to be me.
There you go. And that's what you want. Look, you want a guy that says, yes, I want the shot, and then also a person that is okay with the decision after the fact. Like, and I don't mean like he doesn't give a fuck if he misses a shot. It's just it is what it is. I wanted to be the one to take the fucking shot. I didn't want to be the one that made it and got all the love for it. I want to be the one that took it.
He's going to own it, right?
Yeah, that comes with whatever the fuck it comes with, right? And that's why he's in the position, right? Maybe he drove teammates away or whatever the case you might be. Again, I'm not in the locker room with him. But like Brandon said, you just see – and this is what I guess everybody said. We can all judge in our everyday lives, right? We basically respect when we get judged by our peers, right? Anybody that's kind of in a situation, that's who you respect most. when it comes to your judgment for certain things and the outpour from these, you know, actual NBA players. Like you said, to me, these are the people that obviously know what the fuck really matters.
100%.
And the way they're coming out. Also, it isn't just that they're coming out, in my opinion, because they know how dope it is, which I think that's the number one reason. But also because I think they know how many people are out here acting like this is no big fucking deal. And I think they want to, you know, I guess maybe take control of the narrative a bit to say, well, you better give me love when I get a triple-double. Still thinking that's dope as fuck. I mean, I'm super happy for him because he gets his thing, right? There's so, he definitely, how can I tell you? Like, if he was so dope and he did these things that it, to explain him to somebody in the future, you know, someone say, how can you say Russell Westbrook? I mean, there's a lot of other stuff I can say, but he just made it a lot easier by saying, you know, he's a triple-double king. That's who the fuck Russell Westbrook was.
Yeah, for sure. Triple-double king, downhill, all day. It didn't matter. He would just go, you know, when it's all said and done, we're going to look at Russ and be like, damn, like, you know, we see these point guards lose athleticism so quickly. You know, D-Wade's prime is like gone in a flash.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like coincidentally, it's his nickname, right?
That's his nickname.
No pun for sure.
because like, I think it just goes to show you that, you know, people want to talk shit about Emmitt Smith, right? And, you know, we're Niner fans and we'll get to that in a second, but it takes a certain human being and a lot of willpower and a lot of effort and a lot of other things that I can't think of right now to go out there and do it every single day again mm-hmm. and again and again and again and again. And especially when you know you can't win a title.
Yeah. And, like and that, with that intensity, right?
That is like, it just brings me back to Kobe, right? And it's all, and before, and it's a perfect segue because we'll talk about the Lakers in a second. It's like, because one thing that I always loved about Kobe, out of everything he always brought to us, was that this dude gave a shit. He gave mm-hmm. a shit always, and it was truly something special. Even when like he did things that were just like, come on, Kobe, but it's like at least like this dude fucking cared, and he cared enough for all the fans. Like if you were at OKC, if you were living in Oklahoma City, if you were living in Oklahoma, like you loved Russ, like that was your guy. And even if you lived in Houston for a year, like this dude played for you. He played for your city, and I can fuck with that. And mm-hmm. I know you guys can too.
Yeah, he's definitely dope, and also glad he got his day. And you know, let's see how it ends. Let's see if this is it for him as far as last season kind of situation. But I mean, it's been fucking dope. That's what I like to say. I mean, I wish there was more to it. You know, like as far as saying the championship part of it and everything. But there isn't, right? And that's just the fact. So I'm glad he gets to get this, and I know that definitely isn't the reason why he came into the league. But it's something that really happened, so he needs to get props for that.
Yeah, and I do think we might see a little flirtation with the Lakers in the offseason. We'll see.
I only hope you're right.
I wanted to just add one thing. I know that one thing you guys are both mentioned just now, but we all agree on is like, yeah, maybe there's some reasons you don't want him on your team, but you know that when you got him on your team,
you want him.
He's gonna always he's gonna always give you all. He's gonna leave it all on the floor mm-hmm. every game.
That's all you can ask for.
This accomplishment is proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's something special, man. And I'm glad we all have positive things to say about it. I'm sure there can be some negative shit. You know,
a lot of it. Enough of it. And honestly, that's cool. That's cool too. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It isn't for you. That's perfectly fine because it's for some people, right?
100%. And in this world today, we should be able to disagree and still be able to move on in the conversation. Not, you know, how in 2021 is
100%.
Just piggybacking off 2020 was. All right. So let's move on to the Lakers. I'm going to pull up the NBA standings right now. The Lakers are currently in the seventh seed. And I think we're still technically in the play-in tournament.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, while I look this up, do you guys like the play-in tournament? You guys cool with this?
I'm not cool with it, but not because of the situation. Not because of the situation. I was cool with it because of the COVID part of it last year.
What
I mean? Like that kind of stuff. But it's just, I look, it might be one of those things that I'm just going to get so used to it and enjoy it because I understand it brought some excitement. But dog, like some teams just at a certain point, you don't belong in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Look, I'll tell you this, which is never going to happen. So that's why I'll say it. I'll be cool with it. If you're taking teams away from one side, like if the plan was like the, let's say the 10 team, but if the East only gets five teams in the playoffs, that's just the way it fucking works. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I would be cool if you add another two teams, but it literally has to be the best teams in the league, not just the best teams in the whole fucking conference, because at a certain point, there has to be a cutoff of what the level of what you expect from playoff basketball. You didn't earn it. And I mean, dude, not to be that guy that I usually tend to go with, but it's just fucking an American. Sometimes where it's like, bro, I mean, some fools, it just wasn't it. It wasn't your year. Cut that shit out.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, but who knows, you know, maybe 8-9 is cool, but you know, I just hope it's not one of those things that becomes at one point 12 teams in the fucking West are getting in.
Right. And all 16 teams. I do think that when the playoffs become the get rid of conferences, then the play-in tournament's going to be perfect. It's going to be exactly what you described. Like, but until then, you know, we still kind of deal with this little hodgepodge. They made this.
But I will say this, my bad, because my son, he's like, you should talk about this, Dad, because I told him, hey, I'm gonna record tonight, and you brought it up, so that's one of the things, because he definitely was like, because he's a fan, of course, he's a Laker fan, LeBron fan, but he definitely was are you gonna talk about how LeBron kind of was weak on, like, all of a sudden hating the play-in game, even though he was for it, you know what I mean? And
all relative, man, right?
See, and that is relative to what we're talking about, and I will say this, that reason is a whack reason to not be for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way I can back that, right? But I will say I'm not a fan of it, period. But dude, like, if we said it, look, perfect, because the last time we reported a podcast, I believe that's one of the things we talked about, the Lakers and the situation, and I was like, fuck the whatever the positioning we were talking about, it's like these people should try to move up to 4 or 3. That's just always my thinking, right? So to me, the reason why I say I didn't really, I know it sounds like a cocky Laker fan, but like in reality, well, even now with shit getting tough, I'm still not expecting to stay at the 7, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, like the playing game isn't for us. And I'm still going to be against it. And the Lakers are still going to avoid it. Like, that's how I feel.
No, you're right. Let me go for the standings before we break it into the Lakers talk. Because right now we are in the 7th. So Utah's first, they're 50-19. They're a game and a half up on Phoenix. They have clinched. They've clinched the Northwest, and they haven't clinched number one seed. But essentially, you know, like with the Lakers beating Phoenix the other night and AD going apeshit, that really helped Utah. And Utah plays Portland this week too. So this week's going to be a lot of high, you know, intensity NBA action, which is really dope. Phoenix is at 48-20. Pretty impressive season for Phoenix.
Very impressive.
Clippers are 45-23. Yeah, that's one thing I didn't see. I didn't see the Phoenix rise this quickly.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, just because I'm not gonna do it, and if you guys want to move on from it pretty fast, I'll go ahead and just say this because I have to be the one. You know, I'm definitely not a Chris Paul guy. Anybody that listens to me talk knows that's not me. But fuck, goddamn, props to that motherfucker.
Yeah, he's been playing.
What's he doing with that team? And look, sometimes it isn't just a game, because it is his games, and I've already heard other people make this point, so I'm not alone on this. If you look at his numbers, they're pretty much the same that they were last year. And that's not to knock on him, but it is to say that obviously the numbers isn't all he brings to a fucking team. And you know what I mean? He, whatever he brought to Phoenix is exactly what the fuck the team was lacking. And they was lacking it like in big amounts. You know what I mean? So that's why I have to give him super props, because, you know, they always talk about it throughout all sports, the intangibles. And, you know, that's the kind of shit that you just can't, it's hard to measure, right? And this dude, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta give him his props. When I shit on him, I shit on him, dude. But I gotta give him his fucking props. I just have to, because.
Well, last year was Cliff Paul, and now he's back to Chris Paul.
I'm just, because the reason why I have to give him props is because if I'm being real, I was happy that my team beat the Phoenix Suns in the last game, and that shouldn't have been. I guess I feel like I shouldn't have been as happy as I was, but at the end of the day, Phoenix is good, man. I mean, it is what the fuck it is.
No, they are, and like he went from, you know, Houston to where he was being, you know, tuned out, to Phoenix, where all the young guys really want to listen to him. But
exactly.
Clippers are 45-23. Denver's 44-24. So there still could be some swapping between Denver and Clippers. Yeah. 5 is Dallas. They're 40-28. So a big gap between Dallas and Denver. I don't think that Dallas has enough to get up there. But here is where it gets really juicy, right? Mm-hmm. Portland's, you know, so Dallas has said 40-28. Portland is 40-29. They are a half game back of that. And the Lakers are 1.5 games back, because I think Portland must have won tonight or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
And the Lakers are 38-30. So they're a game and a half back after winning last night. And then behind them is Golden State. They're like 2.5 up on them. So I don't see them, the Lakers, getting falling. I actually, like Eric said, I see them more finishing the season super strong and just kind of making a push, like, all right, AD is, this postseason needs to go through Anthony Davis, 100%. And we'll get to that in a sec. But then Golden State, Memphis, and San Antonio round out the 10. And the Eastern Conference, who cares? You know, but I will say the Knicks are 38-30, have the same record as the Lakers. How about that? So,
and that's huge.
And whereas the Knicks 38-30, they're the 4 seed, and the Lakers are the 7 seed. So again, the West is just deep, deep, deep. It doesn't matter who goes where. I am loving Boston struggling too. I love that.
And that adds more to my argument on the the best teams period getting in, because fuck it. Like, you know, at that point, even that, though, I'm not really a fan of the best teams just getting in, because I do like the whole your conference against the other conference shit. But again, there still has to be a limit of who the fuck represents your conference. Yeah. But let's move on, because I can go on for days about this shit.
Exactly. Like, it only works really well because, like, Charlotte is the 8 seed, and that would be great. You know, like, this tournament was clearly designed to get Zion in, and the Pelicans can't fucking win. So it's like, we created this tournament to get Zion in, and Zion can't get in. So, So the Lakers.
So let's stop doing it, right? Let's stop cheating, because it isn't going to work anyways. Kind of like we did with the lottery, but right? Like with the lottery, they're like, look, man, we're not getting the right teams to win it. So let's just make it a little harder and give everybody a little
more difficult. So the Lakers have, what, 4 games left in the regular season. The Knicks tomorrow night, and that's the 11th. And then who else do that? Let me see. Then we play the Rockets.
And that Knicks game is big, man.
It is pretty big. And because the Knicks played really well, they beat the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're both 38-30, and the Portland won tonight. They beat the Rockets. Damn, I thought the Rockets were going to actually do something, but the Rockets are complete trash.
And well, we better hope they're trash, because don't the Lakers play the Rockets after the?
We need them to be complete and utter trash.
So that's what I mean. I hope you're right.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, it's Knicks, and then it's back to back nights, the Rockets, and I'm pretty sure LeBron's going to play in the Rockets game. And then on Friday, nobody plays. Saturday, we don't know what time we're playing. I'm sorry. Saturday, we play the Pacers at an undetermined time. And then on Sunday, we play the Pelicans at an undetermined time.
And that Pelicans game could be huge, because who knows what the – but, they couldn't get in anyways. It could have been huge.
They can't get in. And Zion, I believe, is still hurt because of that finger. So, those are 4 very winnable games. Those are games where I expect AD to fully flex his muscles, right? The Knicks got nobody to guard him, so he should just go to work on those dudes. The same thing with the Rockets. I mean, Anthony Davis should score 59 points against the Rockets.
Like you said, the one thing you mentioned earlier about the we're back. No, I like the fact that it was I'm back, because, like you said, that's kind of what the Lakers need. I wasn't really worried. Look, I know, again, I'm a cocky Laker fan. Seems like I'm too arrogant about it. But, like, my concern wasn't too heavy like everybody else. You know what I mean? But it was like, yo, you need to pick that shit up, because I don't matter how much I think you're going to get there, the season might just go away. You know what I mean? And AD, like you said, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you that the whole playoffs has got to go through AD. But I do definitely think that definitely the closeout of this season and at least the first round are all on AD as far as where the Lakers should be relying on him heavily. Because I think LeBron, once that ankle's back, bro, ready to go, is back to taking over this bitch. That's just how I feel. Till it's proven otherwise, it's still going to be the LeBron show, I feel, come the playoffs. But that's why you need 2 superstars, right? Because I feel like AD's, this is where you get George. And that's why, again, I love that attitude. Oh, look, I want to say this one point real quick, because I heard it earlier today and I was like, I got to give him props. So, I was listening to the Laker Film Room guys, and they were making a point that I feel like I kind of feel similar to it, but this is really all them. So I really got to give him props. But they were kind of having the comparison of the Shaq and AD, but it kind of goes in a couple different ways. It isn't just like, their play. It's really nothing to do with their play, but it's more like some stuff's positive, some stuff really isn't, right? So it's like maybe AD with, remember he was a little chunky. Some of the stuff, it seems like maybe AD's on the same Shaq vibes of like, I'll get healthy on company time kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like he wasn't amazing. Maybe he's not on the off-season tip. But another thing, it's also like, but just like Shaq, it seems like AD shows up when he needs to show up. And, like Shaq would be like, I make free throws when I need to make them. No matter what the bullshit was with the off-season, when it came time to go, Shaq was ready to do his thing. And I think like AD, with the way he's hoping, obviously we're hoping for the remaining four games, but definitely the way he had his last game, it seems like AD's getting back to understanding exactly what's needed for him, at least in his last closeout, and, you know, go get it done. If you, like you said, as long as you show up, who gives a fuck? What the fuck? What condition you were there? You got there. And I think, you know, I think that's how, I think they hit it spot on how I feel about AD right now. But I'm really hoping he's that showed up version of him, right? That's why, again, I got super excited with his attitude towards him, because that's what I want from him. It isn't just show, it's like, feel it, need it. You know what I mean? Like, the pressure's there. So it's like he let he knows what the fuck we want. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I did it. Like, it's only one game, you know? But it's one of those things like, this is what the fuck you need, right? Well, here it is.
That I couldn't agree more. I love his attitude right now. And obviously it's only been like a couple of games. Going into the season, I definitely thought that AD would be like, all right, for sure, he's the MVP, right? I mean, like, he can do something like this every night. But, you know, he's just not that kind of dude. And especially when you have, like, a guy like Bron on your squad, like, I think – and you're coming off a title on a short season with not a lot of rest. So, you know, Mike, what do you think, man? Do you think it should be matchup-based or just like, hey, we're going to force-feed AD?
No, for right – I agree. For right now, like, he's I felt like this performance is almost needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just again to remind us, like, you know, to get, because like you guys mentioned, it was starting to get to the point where, yeah, we didn't think we'd be in a play-in scenario, but shit, we're here, and I agree. We're here, and I mean, just go through AD, wait till we get a healthy Bron back. I agree, and at that point, you can kind of. The teams will basically dictate it for you. You know, they'll probably, some games it'll be AD. I think a lot more than others, but there's going to be games where Bron has to just do Bron things.
100%. I mean, like, shit. I think if we get the seventh seed, Phoenix has not won any part of us.
No way.
Jazz want zero part of the Lakers.
I was just going to ask you guys, what about the matchup? Like, I thought it was going to be Denver.
I think there's only one team that wants the Lakers, and that's the Clippers. I think they're the only team that is playing well enough. I think they tell themselves they do. And maybe they truly don't because, like, you know, the motivation will be there. But I think that they think that they can beat us. Matchup-wise, everything. Season series, Paul George, you know, Rondo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I like this because you hear this in boxing sometimes, and we're going to talk that later on in the show, but look, I'll say this. You know, a lot of guys are, look at that guy. He was all up in his face. Look, he's not scared of him. Is this going to be the first guy that's not scared of him? But it's one of those things where you say, like, don't forget, dude, you don't really necessarily have to be scared or be timid to get the shit kicked out of you still. Yep. You can have all the confidence in the world, they can whatever, but it doesn't matter really. You know what I mean? It's one of those things you say you want it because that's of course the correct answer. But obviously Laker homers here, and this is the homer special we called it, but yo, it just won't end well. I think the Lakers would be This is what I want to say about this. It's like, did we really need an edge? This is the problem with being a Lakers fan. It almost is like we're always the favorite. It's like, damn, can we get to be the underdog for once in a while to feel like what these fools feel like? And if the Lakers are the seventh seed or if they're in some sort of playoff game, I'll tell you this, they're going to be the best team ever in that position for the history of this bitch.
Yeah, and exactly. You know what I mean? And you know, I heard this on a No Dunks podcast, which used to be the Starters, and they're like, if you want to promote the play-in tournament, is there a better scenario than having LeBron James and Stephen Curry in it and Russell Westbrook? You know, exactly. Like, those are all great, huge names. And if you're going to have a play-in tournament, that's the kind of teams you want to have in it. And granted, if the Lakers were healthy, we were floating with the two seed like all season long. And, you know, I think that we would be in that two seed or maybe even the fight for the one seed. But I will say this. Because we text about this too, right? Dennis Schroeder's always been a topic of conversation, and he's been missing some time. And there is a big move that we didn't make with Lowry, and then the Raptors, who have been terrible the Tampa Bay Raptors, who just got eliminated today. So I'm sure they're just, like, super happy. They're like, thank God we can get the fuck out of here, man. And go the fuck home.
Go home, yeah.
Exactly, because they haven't been home. They can't. And people who live in Canada can't even go back, you know. But now they can. But, you know, Lowry torched us, whooped our ass, hit, like, you know, 4 billion threes. I like Caruso leading the show right now. He's he's looking good. And obviously, it's, you know, small sample size, right? I mean, this is the Homer special, so maybe it's like, Homer! but
yeah, and if you're still shocked by that, then what the fuck?
No, but I do like the way Caruso's been playing. Am I saying that he's going to be our lead guard in 2021? 100% no. That is not what I'm saying. So
you're not saying that? Because I could kind of be okay with that, but let's just say
I can be very okay with him getting serious minutes. Especially this offseason. I mean, this season, I'm more okay with him being out there than Schroeder in crunch time.
Yes. Yes, 100%. Fair. And look, and just even pick up the – look, you know, I was the guy that was saying, picking up on Dwight Howard's, you know, body language when he came in the first time. That's the kind of shit I sometimes want to look. And just the way I see AD, Trez – fucking, you know, LeBron and all these guys react to AD, it just seems like they're on the same vibe, the same wave, that they're saying on the same everything. Like, you know what I mean? It just, to me, seems like the perfect, just give this motherfucking guy a chance. I promise you, he's got it. He's the kind of guy that will rise to the occasion. I guarantee you he will. And look, when it comes to the Schroeder part of it, we did all, you know, we did, Mike even said it, he came around towards the end, like, yeah, you know what I mean? We should have done the Kyle Lowry stuff. Pretty early on too in the situation. I'll say this, I kind of will defend this, the choice, for the reason why I think it happened was, look at all the shit the Lakers have gone through. I can see us saying, look, we need some sort of continuity. Do we really want to throw in some new, you know, right now when this team is kind of like unraveling, but at the same time, obviously that now that it happened, it was like, that definitely should have been the move, because look, Schroeder hasn't even been there the whole fucking time and all the, you know what I mean? It's like, definitely fuck what it was. No matter what the hell it would have done in the short term, Lowry on this team would have been a million times better than not Lowry on this team. Yeah, you know what I mean? And just over, just fuck the even not on this team over Schroeder, right? Like, wouldn't you just feel so much doper if you got all the good shit we just said about Caruso, if he's coming behind like a Lowry or somebody else? Oh, you know what I mean? Like, that would fucking be even, you know, but with Schroeder, it almost feels like, look, we're having the conversation, like, it's debatable, right? And that's not what you want to be if you want to be at the top, right? You want it to be like a guy that's clearly better than Caruso. And that's what you were saying, Brandon, like, do you say he's the lead guy? I get where you're going. It's like, you're saying, I know that's not necessarily who you would want to be the lead guy, but hey, he might be. And we gotta start getting serious about this. And maybe you hit it on the nail. It isn't necessarily about the starter shit that I was going on. It's more about the crunch time minutes of who's really closing these games out. You know what I mean? With, remember, Lamar Odom was doing that with the Lakers in his time, where it was like, yo, he's not starting, but foot, bro, he's going to close out these fucking games because he's the motherfucker that you want out there. And Caruso, look, like I said, especially the way I feel like he gets along with the rest of his teammates. I mean, and not to sound fucked up, but like the teammates that matter, right? Or matter the most. This is a... I just want to see it. That's why I felt like I said what I said. Just, this is a guy that I really just want him to get his chance with those kind of guys, because I feel like he could fucking shine. He can definitely shine, because I think he's a smart motherfucking player. The basketball IQ, it just seems like he's just getting so much better year after year. And look, I like that Vogel giving a shout out. Like, dude, this foot should be getting defensive player kind of, you know what I mean? Real consideration for one of the, you know, he's just doing his fucking thing, dude. And find your lane, right, and just do it great. And that's what fucking he does, and I love him. I love him for it.
He does a really, really great job out there. Mike, do you think the Lakers can really win this title?
Yeah, of course. We're the defending champs. I mean, we've only we've been showing strides of getting better. As much as, like, I agree with you guys as far as Caruso should be kind of, eating up some of those minutes. I do want to give Schroeder some props, because there was games where he did come through for us.
I agree.
And got his dubs, some solid dubs, you know, like there was times where we were like, you know, on a losing streak and Schroeder, you know, balled out and got us some wins. So I do kind of, I do want to give him his props, but I agree. Would we be in a better situation had we gotten Lowry? Yeah, maybe. Again, I mean, we don't know that for a fact, but I think we would feel a little more confident or comfortable with Lowry in that position as opposed to Schroeder.
Yes.
Which again, like Eric mentioned, Caruso playing behind somebody like that, he would probably it would probably be beneficial for him as well.
It wouldn't even be a question, right, of who's starting.
Yeah.
Like if I bring it up on a podcast, I'd be laughed out of the building. But
exactly.
The fact that, that it's even like, it's not debatable. It's not to that point, but it's like, you know, it's a good idea. You know, it's not a bad idea. Right. Like it's that kind of it's that stage.
Yeah. And if Lowry was there, that would never even cross.
Would never even be like, nah. And I will say this about like the crew that won the title, including Caruso, and people who've made a deep playoff run. And granted, I've had zero playoff experience in my 35 years on this planet. But I will say, when you accomplish something at your job, whether it's your family, when you push through something that's persevering and long, and you get closer as a unit, you grow as you grow as people. And especially if it's like a work where it's like a group event, like you definitely can grow as people. And like the Lakers had a really, like anybody who grew in the bubble, I think the Nuggets also, you saw it grew in the bubble, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and the Heat, even they had an injury plague season like the Lakers did.
I'll tell you that. Look, I said it about the Lakers. I don't feel exactly the same way, but I feel similar to the fact that be careful if you get motherfucking the Heat in the playoffs.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Miami's in a very similar situation as we are, right? Like struggling, you know, their injuries came earlier. Ours came like very recently. So we're kind of hitting it at the right time.
Phoenix was the number one seed in the whole league not too long ago. And what is the one thing that they had in the whole entire West more than anything? They were the healthiest team in the whole entire West. Like their starters missed about 10 starts the whole entire fucking season.
It must be
like
nice.
The main starter. So like, look, I'm not hating on them, but what I'm saying is obviously that's key. Just especially, and that's why when you ask Mike, I feel the same fucking way. Like, hell yeah, I think we can win the fucking championship. Just like Caruso said, we're a fucking good team.
Exactly.
This is a good fucking team. The thing is, we need to be healthy, which is a no shit statement. But I mean, yes, like we just got to be healthy. But like, yes, I like our chances. I fucking love our chances. You know what I mean? And if it's Phoenix, bro, what the fuck with the size shit? I mean,
and that's why I said we need to go through AD is because I'm looking at these teams in the Western Conference and I'm thinking about who's their starting center and I'm thinking all Anthony Davis is going to chew him up and spit him out. Right.
It's yes, just like, sir.
That's why. Sorry, Kobe. We got to give it to Shaq right now because there's literally no one on the planet that can guard this man. Like there's nobody he back you down. Like, I just remember like Shaq made Rick Smith look like a fucking rag doll. Like my son throws his fucking Mickey Mouse, like a plush doll across in the living room. Like, get out of my face. I'm done with you. Like that's what Anthony Davis is doing that to
Dikembe. The way Shaq did Dikembe.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. In 2001, he like made Mutombo look so small. Like just so
he's
small.
Son Mutombo. And Mutombo was like a warrior, bro. This guy's like a savage defensive player, you know, signature wag. I mean, he was all it, but Shaq just
different like, level. It's just 2001 Shaq was different level.
Look, and AD, I'll tell you this,
and AD can get there.
I told Brandon and Brandon got excited. Remember, I told you I was like, hey, look, this maybe the pandemic is the perfect time. Me and my wife literally got caught up in the whole entire Marvel universe. So we saw every single movie. We just finished yesterday, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So we are caught up.
Hell yeah.
You know, so like, but what I was going to say is,
hey man, Falcon and Winter Soldier was okay. It was not bad, but
you know, I liked it. But I talked to you guys in our group text with other friends is, you know, I told you guys, why didn't you guys fucking smack me up, lock me in a box? Cause you guys know I'm an anti fucking comic book guy. But everybody that knows me knows I would have fucking loved Captain America. I don't know why I've never seen Captain America. This is the greatest. Like, I love Captain. I love that cheesy shit, dog. I'm all for the cheesy, bro. And like America cheesy. Like,
yeah, Captain America is all about cheesy. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just wait. You're gonna like the What If series too, which is like a What If version of stuff. But yeah.
But the reason why I went into that whole shit was right. It was like, look, when fucking what's homeboy's name, Thanos over there, right? When he was just bossing like G's up, right? Like, what the fuck, fool? That's Thor, dog. You know what I mean? And this was just smacking fools.
When he smacked up Hulk. Like, it's just like, excuse me.
excuse me, I'm just gonna beat your ass, Hulk. And like, you know, that's how I feel like you just sit with Shaq. Like, Shaq is doing that to like defensive players of the years. Like, you know what I mean? Like guys that are known for no nonsense. And like, look, like we've seen it in the league when certain fools have been able to make Rudy Gobert look like you ain't shit. Like, wait, is this the defensive player of the year or is this the guy that I'm seeing getting bullied tonight? And that's the kind of shit Shaq did to a lot of defensive players of the years, a lot of first team all NBA, all that kind of shit. And that's what, like, what, you know, going back to not to the original topic as far as AT, that's what we need, right? That whole like, yo, fool, you're a boy, I'm a man kind of game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at this point, I'm just bigger than you because we're all skilled, you know, at this level. I'm just huge and good.
Exactly. And he's big and AD's big and good. There's nobody in on that in the West that can really guard him. Brooklyn is a different story. Philly is a different story. But, you know, we don't have to worry about them.
And if we do, it's a positive, right?
Because exactly, that means we exactly. got there. Exactly. That means we got to a level that we wanted to get and we got to back-to-back finals. So,
if we get to the finals, that means that's a good team again, and we're winning. Oh, shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure,
for sure.
So,
we're all
predicting championship back to backs. Yep.
Yes, I honestly think. Look, okay. If we do have a fucking, I think our biggest chance of losing for the playoffs this year is that fucking if we do some stupid shit and end up in a playing game because anything could happen in some shit like that, right? Mm-hmm. But like, mm-hmm. bro, in a series, get out of here. Just get the fuck out of here. Because I like you said, the only time we're going to really start having a fucking a problem in a series is going to be like, you know, size-wise, it's going to be if we're fucking with somebody in the East. And I mean, come on. Like, I like our chances in any kind of finals.
Yep. I mean, I still think we just have to be careful with the Clips. But aside from that.
Yes, because of what you said. I know I dismissed them, but it's because of what I said the last time. We're the bullies. We've been giving you, just like I said, I wish we were the underdog ones. And this team has lived as the underdog.
I think we are going to be the underdogs in any series we're going to be in, except for like Phoenix. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then we're going to be right back into the former Jim Harbaugh 49ers. Now it is the Lynchahan Niners. Yes,
the Lynchahan.
We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. Oh, yeah, really good. Really good break right there. We are going to hop into the NFL and discuss the 49ers. We're not going to talk about the draft. The draft can be covered on other websites. You know, you can go to NFL.com for that. We're going to discuss our opinions on what the Niners did in the draft. Mike, let's start with you, man.
Okay.
Did you think that the Niners were going to draft Fields, or were you completely taken aback when we didn't trade up to take I forgot the number two pick. I was gonna crack a joke.
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, my 2 year old son Malcolm.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that Instagram. I saw an Instagram video of him like looking. There was a video. I think it was on ESPN, right? Where right after the draft, he's standing next to all the picks, and he's like looking like, oh my god, like these dudes are fucking enormous. But yeah, what did you think of the Niners pick? Were you surprised?
Not surprised. I guess my we you know, I don't think when we recorded last time we spoke about it, but within our group text we were always talking about it. But one thing I didn't want for sure at three, nothing I wanted no parts of was Mac.
Oh, Macintosh, absolutely yeah. not.
Like that was I didn't want nothing to do with that. No. And you know, like I kept telling you guys as well, like. He was going to be available at 12. Like those, if that was the case, there was absolutely no reason why we traded up from fucking 12 to 3.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I'm good with Lance. I wanted Fields a little bit more than Lance, but I'm good. Like I said, I'm good with it. I was cool with either one as long as it wasn't Mac.
Yeah. That's a
good. But I do like Lance. I do like Lance.
I mean, I was beyond excited with the shit. With Lance, but it was more because of what Mike just said. Like I wanted Fields, like, but at a certain point, I felt like I had enough information to be like, well, damn, we ain't going Fields. So at that point, I was like, fuck, I don't want Mac. So if the name isn't Mac, then I'm gonna be happy. And And I'm not saying that that's because I didn't want Trey Lance at all. No, that wasn't the case. But right. I just feel like I really liked Fields. I feel like I like Fields more than Zach Wilson, you know, who went ahead of him. With Trey Lance, I feel like that might be a little closer, right? Like I feel like Lance was, to me, the third best quarterback in this situation. I had Wilson 4, like the way I look at it. But again, what the fuck do I know, right? But that's how I feel. So Mac Jones wasn't anywhere in the mix. So that was where it was like, yeah, let's not do that at all.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's just not do that. Let's go with Trey. And then, you know, again, I was excited. So once it happens, you know me, I'm all the guy that once it happens, it's my quarterback. I get on my Tyrell mode, right? So now I'm getting defending it and it's all good. And now I'm retweeting. I'm Trey Area. I'm doing it all. Yep. Like, you know what I mean? At Trey that point. Area. Yeah, it's just, I mean, look.
Defending him on Twitter.
Yeah, you never have to twist my arm, bro. Like, you don't got to do it. Once we made the move, fuck it. This guy's dope, right? Like, that's how I get down.
Even with the rumor, huh? He's like, rumor? Yo, all right. I can fuck with that.
I can fuck with that. But look, I'll tell you this. I said it before, and I told my son this for a fact, and you guys know how I am. I'm a guy with all my teams or anybody that I root for. It's like, I want to find out now. I'm not really for the bullshit as far as, like, I hope we can bullshit for a while and just have an okay season. No, like, if we ain't it, I want to find out right now. And I like that because, you know, I'm a fucking Kyle guy, right? We said it. I'm a Kyle Shanahan guy, and I was not a Lynch guy, but I've definitely come around because I feel like he's done a great job, right? Like, they've done the thing. But my favorite part about this is you put all your eggs in one basket. So, like, there's no wiggle room. If Trey ain't it, you fucked up. You got to go. And I like those kind of moves because if Kyle ain't it, then I want to know now. Because if Kyle was able to do shit with Kirk or guys that weren't his choice, even Jimmy wasn't his choice. You know, these are guys that he was there. Well, he better make the guy he chose work like a motherfucker. You know what I mean? This has to work. This cannot be a bust or Kyle's a fucking bust. And if he's got to go, he can take, John with him. That's just the way this kind of move is. You don't trade up. You don't do
package deal.
You don't do the most first round trade in the Niners history. You don't do none of this shit unless this call is golden, bro. This call's got to be the greatest legendary call. Like, you know, it's got to be one of those calls. Trey can't beat Jimmy. You know what I mean? Like, if Trey's Jimmy, that's still a bust. Like, he has to be dope. And look, and I'm not saying that. Look, now that I said all that, it sounds like I'm saying
you're looking for, like, Mahomes.
Yeah, like, I said all that. It may sound like I'm saying, look, Kyle now is going to fall flat in his face. No. I'm saying I'm excited because that's how I feel about Kyle. But look, he also can't fuck this up. You got to make this work. You know, it's just you called your shot. Like, this is in, like, a let's find out what I can. No. This is you saying, putting the league on notice, I'm going to go get my guy right now. You know what I mean? And if we want to believe what we want to believe in Kyle, like I do, then shit, the league should be scared. You know what I mean? That's how I felt with the Trey Lance in the field kind of picks. And that's what it was. And look, it's not even to shit on Mac because I feel like I was so anti-Mac. I feel like I was one of those that started getting so, like, fuck this dude kind of picks. But that's, you know, that's definitely not the case. But it was like nothing about him made me excited for, like, you know, revolutionary kind of shit. Like, yo, this is about to change the way Kyle does. Mac was, again, just like I said about what Trey can't be, Mac at best was going to be Jimmy to me. Like, you know what I mean? That was like, that's what the fuck Mac can be. He can be a starting NFL quarterback. You know what I mean? That's not bad, but that's not trading up for the third to pick and giving up three first round. That's not what that is. That's definitely not what that is.
That's not what Jimmy is. I'd rather have Jimmy.
Look, and the perfect way to answer that is try to go get a first-round pick for Jimmy.
Yeah, but I do think that, to your point, like, if you're talking like this can be a fireable offense if he doesn't pan out, now they have at least a year to mentor, tutor, like, with Jimmy there. Because right now the window, I think, is wide open to win a championship. Yes. And, you know, just like we're talking about the previous segment, the Lakers winning championship, the Niners are right. You know, they have a really good shot and they're not going to come into the favorites. I think it's going to be the Bucks and they're going to have the run it back train. But at some point, Brady's going to get hit, and it's going to be harder to get up because he's just, you know, as great as his shape as he is, like, he's going to get hit by a 25-year-old man who's fucking great shape and gonna, you know, very strong. And, you know, Brady might not get up for one of those. So, you know, they're still loaded. They got a ton of talent. So,
but unfortunately, the way, if you want to go in history, is like, there's more of a chance that Brady goes through the whole season than Jimmy does, dog. Like, and that's where the
problem. Jimmy also does, like, dumb shit, too.
Yeah, but look, I said it beforehand. I said it all the way, but I'm a Jimmy dude. I'm definitely not done on the Jimmy. I would love it if Jimmy wins it this year. Like, that's not, I'm not ready. Let's get the fuck out, you know, again. But it's one of those things where now with your guy on the team, Kyle doesn't have too many. Like, to me, I feel like this is the season because you got it all. If it isn't Jimmy, you got the guy right there. You know what I mean? And look, we got Debo. You got so many weapons. And I know we're, this is mainly about the, not necessarily the Niners draft. It's mainly about Trey Lance. But the other parts of the draft, as far as, you know, Notre Dame dude, what's his name? Banks, the fucking offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman, yeah.
Which, quote unquote, is not a typical Kyle guy, right? This is not that athletic, fast-moving guy. This is a beast, right? And then going to get Trey Sermon, you know, running back from Ohio State. Like, I feel like that's getting me also more excited about this Trey Lance pick. It's like Kyle is going to make things. That's why I said it's an all-in kind of move. Like, we're going to make it all work to if Trey's the guy, we're going to find out because we're going to put all the right, you know what I mean? You're not just, you're going to get blocking in front of him. You're going to get running game. You already got Debo and Brandon. Of course, George Kittle, the God. You know, you got a lot of other stuff that is going to be around him. Now, if you're able to add some, like, a big beast offensive lineman like you might have added, you know what I mean? It's starting to look like, look, Eric asked me earlier, again, I'm going back to my son, the guy who I run through most of my sports conversations, especially in the COVID times, right? He said, do you think Trey's going to fit Kyle's system? I said, look, if Kyle's getting this shit correct, he's going to make this system work for Trey. That's just the way it works. Like, fuck this whole, are you going to fit my system shit? I'm not a fan of that shit. So I feel like, again, the way they're drafting, the way it is, I think Kyle's saying, look, I'm going to make the greatest offense I can make, and it's going to be revolved around all the tools that this fucking young man has to offer. And I'm fucking super excited to see it. Because, again, what I said, once I was Trey area, like a second right after that pick was in, you know, It isn't hard to find highlights of fucking Trey Lance that make you just lose your fucking shit or how much the ceiling for this kid is just, it's almost uncapped. Like, this guy, fuck. You know what I mean? And just even the way he looked when he came in, he carries himself. It just seems like he's the kind of dude that he knows he's the motherfucker. Like, that's how I see he came off to me. Me going back to what I mentioned earlier, I guess I'm the resident body language expert here. So I feel like Trey Lance looked the fucking part, at least that, you know what I mean, to start off. That shit seemed like, bro, he's a guy that can lead your team. That's just what he seemed like.
He looks ready.
He looked ready to just say, yo, you know what I mean? I'm the motherfucker. Tell me where to go. Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, quoting E40, I guess, going to the fucking, the yay. But, like,
yep.
Dude, this is this, you know, they always go, whenever we see the draft, back in the days, it was always in New York, right? But whenever people are there live and they pan to the crowd, we always love it. When teams draft some guy no one's fucking heard of, and the whole fan base is like, who the fuck? Right? When they always go, with the 10th pick, so-and-so drafted, what the fuck's name, from whatever the fuck college. And then the whole fan base is like, who the fuck is this cat, right? And then there's also those moves like, look, as soon as they announced that pick, that whole shit was going like, hell yeah. Because I think a lot of us were on the same page, like us three right here in the podcast. At a certain point, it wasn't even like who you wanted. It's who the fuck we didn't want. And as long as that shit wasn't Mac Jones, we were, you know what I mean? We were like, let's go. And I think after that, it was pretty quick for most 49er fans to just go ahead and rally behind this young man. And we're all excited, you know what I mean? At least I fucking am. I'm ready to see this guy go to work. But at the same time, I'm perfectly cool with him sitting his ass down while fucking Jimmy gets Super Bowl ring and gets it done for a couple more years.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's ideal. Any more thoughts, Mike? Before
I wanted to ask a question before we moved on the subject. Do you guys think we see Trey starting any games this year?
Yes. I think the pressure, I think the pressure, look, I think the pressure is just going to get to them. Like, I feel like, look, if Jimmy's fucking 6-1 or some crazy shit to start, like, you can sit your ass down for a while, right?
But,
like,
yeah, for sure.
You know, I can definitely see that happening too. That's, again, I just said I'm a big Jimmy guy, but I mean, if you're fucking, you know, just winning games that, like, the Kyle Shanahan way, where, like, he was winning with Jimmy in the playoffs, where it was more the running game and other stuff.
Yeah, we won't need Trey.
You know what I mean? No, but at the end of that point, it's not even that you won't need him, but look, this is a kid that only pretty much played one season and missed his whole last season.
Yeah.
Sitting for another whole fucking season might not be the best fucking thing, dude. Like, I know that also sitting him in there without being ready is completely might destroy somebody's career too. So that's, you know, again, that's why I guess I trust Kyle, but, you know, trust him. But if you don't make it right, then you're not the motherfucker, right? But that's going to be the hard part, right? Because he needs fucking reps. He needs fucking reps.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, you can't sit out a whole year. Pretty much. He played one game this last season. You know what I mean? Like, he last played in 2019. Like, and if he sits another, what? Like, his first start's going to be in 2022?
Right.
Like,
I think
and he's playing from North Dakota State, like, you know what I mean? So what, like, even less of an experience. But the best positive is, remember, he's the first player in the NFL history to get drafted that was born in 2000. He just turned 21, I think, today or yesterday. So he wasn't even 21 when he got drafted.
Right.
So obviously, if there is someone fit to sit a couple years because of the age, it's him. But my concern is more the fact that, like, at a certain point, you can't not play football for 4 years and expect to come back and be all good.
So I guess the follow-up is going to be, is he going to get a start or playing time because of injury or performance?
It would have to be because of injury. I would really want to say that Jimmy plays all 16 and that even if he doesn't play 16, that we would play a backup before we played Lance this year.
I was going to just say, I'm kind
depends
of
on who the, it depends on who it is. Right. But for example, RG3 has expressed interest of coming here. I think we would, if it's going to be a spot start and Jimmy's back the next week, I think then the backup starts. But I think if it's a long-term injury where Jimmy's is like out, and then I think the coaching staff will be like, well, we drafted him. Let's just fucking do it.
Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't be the way you would want. I mean, like, right? Wouldn't it seem like, damn, you also don't want Trey to just go in there because of the fucking, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Want him to be prepared. You want him to be ready. And look, this is what I hope. I hope he's ready to go week one, but it's just more of a Kyle choice to make him wait.
Week one.
You know what I mean?
Like, I wouldn't hear
him. No. But I don't mean like he's ready, like he's the motherfucker. I mean, like, Kyle's confident with him starting, but he's still saying, but I'm perfectly fine with, not fine, but like, I prefer Jimmy still. But you are a guy that I don't just go with you because he's hurt. I might just go with you because now it's time. You know what I mean? Now it's whatever, week three, and we get the perfect team that I feel like.
It is time.
Exactly. That's how, you know, that's how I feel like Kyle could do it. Because again, if Trey is as good as Kyle thinks he is, he should be able to beat out a healthy, good Jimmy. You know what I mean? And that would be dope as fuck, right? Because again, I'm not down on Jimmy. I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh, here's going to come, this guy has never played, just take Jimmy's job. No, I don't think that at all. But shit, if he comes take Jimmy's job, then shit, that kid's got a fucking future in this league,
that's,
I feel.
That's true.
You know, so that's how I feel like the dope part about it, right? Like, look, man, we're not, at least it doesn't sound like any of us three would be fucking have a big problem if Jimmy just started this whole season, right?
I mean, he might not even be on the roster.
Exactly.
New England has their way. Mike, what were you gonna say?
I just was gonna add, like, I think on the contrary of what Eric said, like, of course, if Jimmy's 6-1, then we're not gonna see Trey anytime soon. But on the flip side, if he's 1-5, I think at that point you really like, okay, we're gonna find, like Eric said, we gotta find out.
Oh god.
Yeah, I don't even think he gets to 1-3. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think 1-5.
Giving him too much.
I think 1-4. If he's 1-4, I think they bench him.
unless it's one of those things where the kid's just straight up not ready. You know what I mean? Like then,
because yeah. the thing where Jimmy's playing great, but like a defense. No, but look, what I'm saying is, or whatever.
No, but if Jimmy's 1-4, what I'm saying is, even if Jimmy's 1-5 and Trey's just not ready, then look, don't start the guy just because you have to. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, because that's how you ruin careers, yes. right? Like, yes, that's yes, when yes. you do the Brandon move, like you said, go get you know RG3, go get somebody else.
Yeah, that can there's you know plenty of backups that we can go get.
Yeah, but don't ruin a guy's. That's what I mean. Like, if he's starting ideally, it's because he's ready to play. Not because it's like, fuck it. Or like, you don't move up to the third pick to put in a guy in a fucking situation. That's just not, that's right. No, that's not the way
I was. Or like you guys said, I mean, if it's like a season ending injury early, then yeah, I guess you got to roll with him.
Right. Yeah, just take it slow as fuck, right? Like run game. You know, there's a way to do it too, right? Like you got to help the guy out. But, you know, again, there is those times if you want to be real where, I don't give a fuck. Whatever the high pick it was, some guys just aren't ready. And you know what I mean? And it doesn't sound like this is the guy. Because, look, even what you read of North Dakota State, this guy was fucking from the rip, took over all the play calls. Shit that Carson Wentz, when he was there, wasn't even able allowed to do towards the end of his time. They trust – because everything you read about Trey Lance is – he's a smart motherfucking dude, and he picks up a playbook like a motherfucker.
Yeah, you know,
and that's what you need in this Kyle, because you read exactly. You heard that this is a little tough to pick up that playbook.
He's a go getter. He seems like he has that kind of personality where he can get things quickly, adjust, move on. Like, okay, I got it. Let's move. I can adapt and teach. Like that's what you want from the quarterback position, especially with a coach like Shanahan who's so like hands on and. You know, if you don't want to be micromanaged, maybe the Niners and the Patriots aren't the end of the place for you. But if you don't mind it, then, you know, you can succeed, hopefully, right?
Exactly.
So let's hop into the ring and talk about some boxing. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, sir.
Or any final thoughts before we move over there? Or I think you covered everything.
Yep.
Gray area.
Let's do it. Yeah. All right. Perfect. You know, we'll have a lot more to say as the season gets closer. So let's move on to whatever happened on Saturday night to Billy Joe Saunders. The poor man from, is it England, Eric? I think it's where he's from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a Londoner. He's a traveler. He's a gypsy.
Another gypsy's in the news today. But he fought Canelo Alvarez, who is a world-class middleweight. And he's one of the... He's probably the premier boxer right now. And I was going to say maybe the premier boxer of this generation.
No, I wouldn't say it. Well, you know, because.
Well, I guess like.
Floyd is still this generation.
The post-Floyd generation.
Exactly. Yes, you could definitely say that.
The post-Floyd generation has all been about like Canelo and his constant growth, right, as a boxer. And evolution.
Yeah, I mean, look, like you guys know, I've never been big as a fan of his.
He's fucking good. He's really fucking good.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even if you feel like whatever, it's the accomplishers are what they are, right? And at a certain point, it's like you can debate whether you like the guy or you're gonna root for his next fight. That's fucking perfectly okay. But as far as saying that he's not the, you know, like you said, the face of the sport right now or the one that's doing it at the top level with the biggest crowds, with the biggest whatever you want to, you know, measure, that's definitely who the fucking guy is. So you're wrong if you want to think that's debatable. But, you know, again, you can like who you want to like, right? That's why I mentioned the fact that, look, I'm not a Canelo guy. But the fact that he's putting on the biggest events, that's not a fucking lie. And, Billy Joe was a guy that was talking shit like a lot of people do. This is a guy that felt like he was going to be in there, going to show this guy, you know, give him a boxing lesson, you know, because again, bro, because we've seen, it almost seems like we all saw Canelo just get outboxed, like outclassed by Mayweather back in the days, and everybody's just got it in their head that you can always outbox Canelo. You just gotta have the guy that's not fucking, scared
like,
of him.
Watch him, watch Danny Jacobs fight. Like, this dude's head.
But look, Danny Jacobs was super successful towards the end. Like, you know, towards the later part of the round of the fight. The thing is, look, it's not that they don't see it. Whatever, I don't. That's the case. It's just, it's easier said than fucking done, right? Like,
for sure.
And it's also the shit that you said. Look, people can't get better. Like, Don't only because you feel like you're capped at wherever you're at. Don't be shocked that other people are still working to get better, even when they get to a super fucking high level, right? So to us, the feeling, the fact that this guy was so dope at one point that he was able to land the fucking Floyd Mayweather fight, we figured that's about as good as it fucking gets for any human being. You know what I mean? But like, you can also still say, yeah, but I'm fucking, at that time, he was like 20 fucking five or 24 or some shit.
The kid, it's
like, yeah, man. I can also get way better. You know what I mean? And again, fuck this dude. I'm not a fan. I mean, no, you know what I mean? Maybe fuck this dude is harsh, but I'm just not a fan of his. But fools get to get better. Fools get to put in work, and he's definitely doing that, man.
Yeah.
And look, I'm one of those
look
that
how
I'm not
stronger. Gonna, he's gotten
exactly. Yeah. I'm one of those guys that I'm not gonna just get over the whole failing, you know, drug this kind of situation.
Yeah,
I get
shitty.
I get that his shit was excused. I guess that the levels was whatever. All of that shit, I get it. For someone says, but he was clear. So what the fuck, right? And that's why I'm like, look, at the end of the day, if you follow boxing, you know, dudes are going to pop and fools are going to go back into the mix. And once they're back in the mix and they start fighting, you're either going to ignore and pretend this person doesn't exist or just take the facts for the facts. And that's how I feel like, look, I'm not going to get over the fact that I feel like he was guilty of what I feel he was guilty of, right? But that doesn't mean that after that happened, he's had a shitload of fights. And he's still in the top of the rankings. And he's still, if you want to fight and prove you're the best at whatever division is in, you have to fight him. You know, that doesn't change. Yep. That doesn't change because, again, once you pay, because even if he fucked up, even if he got popped guilty, at the end of the day, I am a kind of dude that does believe in the fact that once you pay whatever the fuck, whatever your crime, you know, caused you to pay, whether it was fines or whatever, at the end of the day, at a certain point, you just got to leave a motherfucker alone, right? You did what you had to do. If we don't like it, let's make our punishment harsher. And that's how I felt about his situation. Like, you know what I mean? If he got clear, well, we can't get mad at him for getting cleared. But I can't be upset that I don't think that should have been the fact, right? But he's obviously going to take the clearance. Who the fuck wouldn't?
And you know, like, you know? There's so many people who probably disagree with you because of their privilege, right? They feel like they can just like voice their opinion no matter what. Like, oh, well, I think that this should happen because, you know, it's crazy. But yeah, I agree. Like,
but at the end of the day, look, he saw Benito. This is the shit. Look, this is how I feel about Canelo. It started with the Triple G shit, right? Everybody's like, he's scared to fucking fight Triple G. I'm one of them, not necessarily scared, but I feel like he doesn't want to fight at this moment. Wherever the fuck, because look, it's too many of us throw around the word like this dude's scared of that dude. A lot of these guys are the top boxers, motherfuckers ain't scared, right. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
So, like, dude, I mean, like I just told you earlier, you don't even gotta be scared to get fucked up. So, what the fuck we assume everybody's scared for, dude? That's just a lot of scary ass fools, you know what I mean? That are projecting, right? But like, my whole shit is
projecting, yeah.
I just feel like with the Triple G shit, a lot of us was like, he's scared to fight this guy. He fights him fucking twice. Look, I feel like he lost the first fight, but he still fought a close one. And I feel like he at least got the draw, if not won the second fight. So if I'm talking shit that he's not fighting this guy and he fights him back to back, whether I feel how I feel, he did it, right? And that's what I mean. Like, at a certain point, I feel like he was going to starch Billy going in. I wasn't one of those that felt like, because a lot of people felt like, again, Billy's a boxer, smooth boxer, so he's going to give this guy fits. But a lot of people that were saying that, all of a sudden was like, yeah, fuck, Billy wasn't shit. You know, like, you can't, like, once the guy just demolishes who you thought was tight, don't, like, now say that wasn't a big accomplishment. Like, you know, that's what I mean. Like, a lot of us that were saying, fuck, he's scared to fight you. But, well, once he fights him, you're like, well, he did it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to like you for it. I don't have to root you for it. But so that's what I mean. Like, no matter what I feel about Billy, Billy was an undefeated guy with a belt and was considered by some of the people, probably one of the guys that's better equipped to fucking beat this dude. Right. But once he beat the shit out of him and broke his fucking face, fools are like, nah, what the fuck? Nah, you know what I mean? But I will say the big story that's going with Billy is, you know, you shouldn't be calling fools out for quitting, calling them, you know, oh, you quit, you're whack, you're weak. You know what I mean? How'd you let you talk all that shit and then you over here quitting on the corner? But Billy was a fool that was out there talking shit with another fool. Dubois was just a fighter that recently, you see this keep all over, you know, social media where, you know, obviously your comments come back to haunt you, right? Where Dubois, his eye got fucked up and he was like, yo, I don't give a fuck if you, I'm dead. Like, you got to carry me the fuck out of there. There's no way I'm going to be. And look, his eye gets fucked up and he's out of the fight, right? And at the same time, people are like, look, but doesn't mean that only because the other guy was fucked up doesn't mean his situation wasn't worse. You're correct. But you don't find that out till you get to the fucking hospital. You know what I mean? The decision you made was still based on whatever the information you had. And the information you had was the same shit that Dubois had. Your eyes fucked up. Yeah, once you get to the hospital and, you know, they did the x-rays, maybe your eye was way more fucked up than him. And you are glad that they made that decision. But let's not sit here and act like we all knew from the rip his shit was that much worse. He still made the choice he made. And again, I'm not the one saying that's a cowardly. I'm saying based on your words, that's not how a champion acts. You know what I mean? And it's just a quick off. Obviously, like, we don't need many reminders, but that's one of those reminders of like, yo, Randy, don't be out here throwing stones, man. Because especially in the fact that nowadays everybody's got a record of pretty much anything you've ever said. You know, so it's like,
exactly. Don't be calling out reporters, like, and then, you know, you're gonna get your eye broken.
Exactly. And also don't be mad when people are out here laughing at the fact
that your
eye broke it, because you were out here talking. And again, I'm not one that's happy of the fact. I feel the fight should have been stopped. I don't need this guy to prove me any toughness. Yeah, I'm not that one. I'm not the one. I'm in for it for the sport. Yeah, I like a good brawl, like the next man fucking guy. But I don't give a fuck. I'm not the guy that's judging dudes' masculinity and the fucking, that's not my shit. Like, yo, how tough? No. How good were you, right? Like, you know what I mean? That's what the fuck I'm out here to look at. Well, so
right, like when you spar, you have headgear on, right? And mm-hmm. to protect yourself from events like that, from an uppercut where you can break something. And as a boxer, that's part of your job, is to protect your face so you can continue to fight. If you fucking break your eye, you can't fight. Like, because if you had a broken eye socket before the fight, there's nobody would have let you fight.
No, and exactly. And it's, I think from what I heard, it's audible and like some of his cheekbones on top of it. So it's like, it was the right choice. But again, you didn't have that information during the fight. During the fight, it just looked like a regular old black eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Like he's saving himself after the fact. It's like, no, man, look, it was really bad. Of course it was. But you didn't know that shit.
Until
you quit. Once you quit and you got to leave to the hospital, then you found out how bad of a shit was.
Then the adrenaline went away and then the pain started, I'm sure.
But again, like that's why it's like you don't talk shit. Look, Billy was the guy. He's a champion. At this point, Canelo's on a mission to fucking unify all the belts.
Yep.
So he's one of the guys that he had to get through.
Mike, how did Billy Joe look? We were kind of talking about before Eric joins.
He in the early rounds, like I was telling you, he looked okay. Mm-hmm. But as the rounds, like I told you, Brandon, right before Eric got on, as the rounds started going on, you started to see like the separation.
Yeah.
You started to see Canelo was just better.
Yeah, just because better. You know, we see it in basketball, right? We see it in all the sports when fools are at their peak, when teams are at their top. Some of the parts that you're bringing to the game, Mike, Mike's our resident soccer guy. You see this in soccer too, when like some of these elite teams, that mm-hmm. almost that mental pressure that you're putting on that other team or that other opponent, it's so much that at a certain point, they just start to fall apart, right? So
they start to break. Yeah, they start to break.
Billy won a couple of the early rounds. I agree. I don't think he won as many as some people were saying. Like he was winning.
Yeah.
I wasn't going as far. But look, he was looking good in some rounds. But even in those fucking rounds, Canelo was landing some body shots that were so devastating. And he was still fainting and, you know, making him always think, I'm coming, motherfucker. And everything he threw was hard as shit. So again,
he was hitting him with bombs.
By the later, it's like, fuck, this fool's gonna be here the whole time. It's like, I tell this shit to my wife when she fucking texts me or whatever. And, you know, I'm at the gym and she's like, I tell her, I was like, the reason why I don't stop is because I'm looking for an excuse to stop. So the moment I gotta answer your text or whatever, I'm gonna be like, all right, cool. I didn't mean to stop, but look, I got a message. So now I get to walk the rest of this fucking run. You know what I mean? And that's how I feel with these issues. Sometimes you just need a reason to get out to say, look, you know, sometimes when a dude's beating your ass, you get to a certain point where like, I'm just not going to be able to get this done. I'm just not. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely think Billy got there. And, well, he didn't get through. Canelo helped him get there, right? You know?
Canelo guided him to the hospital.
Yeah. And so, look, that's what happens, right? Look, so again, I'm not a fan of the guy, but I have to acknowledge what he's doing is fucking amazing. I mean, 70-plus, you know, capital. So, you know, in Texas, where obviously, you know, COVID, it doesn't exist. It's cool. It's like, you no mask crowd with 70,000 indoor arena, you know, just the right way to do it. Like it's just, and I know I'm being sarcastic with it, but some of it is like, that's how much, bro, if you get so many, some, I mean, no, it's not that hard to convince that many Texans to do it, but like, really though, like 70,000 during a pandemic indoors is pretty fucking, pretty impressive, dog. Like with the, you know, with like anything you read saying, look, we can start opening up and everything, but this whole indoor with a shitload of people stuff has got to be way at the end of the line. And Texas is like, nope, Jerry's rule. Let's go. You know what I mean? So that, you know, that's crazy. But look, props to the man, right? You're doing your fucking thing. You just start.
He's at the peak of his powers.
Right, we mentioned the whole what's next kind of shit, right?
Exactly. That's where my perfect question was. What's next?
All right. So what's next? What's next? Caleb Plant. It's not going to be hard at all for me to root for Caleb to get the fuck. Look, with Billy was like, I think this is one of the few times probably ever that I was rooting fucking for because I couldn't bring myself to say I'm rooting for Canelo, but I was rooting against the guy Canelo was fighting. You know what I mean? I guess like, I don't like Billy at all. Like I felt like I didn't buy into none of his bullshit. I just don't like him at all. Now with Caleb Plant, it's the exact opposite. That's an American fucking champ. That's what the fuck, you know what I'm on. I'm all in on Caleb. And again, Caleb has a lot of that same as far as super, you know, he's a boxer. He's, you know, he's nice, slick, smooth, got some nice rhythm out there. You know what I mean? He looks good. These are the kind of guys you feel like you got him. So I'm all in. I'm definitely back in Team Plant. But you know, if you want to, obviously, with the betting lines and all of that, it's still going to be a huge favorite for Canelo.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know, and that's how it's going to be till someone takes his spot, right? Like, you know what I mean? But, like, at this point, you know, I don't know, just to kind of go a little bit on the whole thing is, he was, you know, with Golden Boy, with De La Hoya, he was able to sue them and get out of his contract. And he had that two-fight deal with Eddie Hearn in the Zone. That's how he had his last two fights. But that's up after this last fight. So he's basically a free agent again. So the baddest dude in the game is a free agent. So it just means he can do whatever the fuck he wants again. So Caleb Plant would be with PBC. That might be the way to go. So he can probably go that route. And then after that, you know, another PBC guy, Charlo, if he does the same thing he did with Eddie Hearn with his last time, where he kind of just signed a two-year gig. He's like, look, he signed a two-year gig with the end fight being the, you know, the Billy fight. Same could go with PBC. Is like, yo, I'll take the fucking Caleb Plant fight and then a Charlo fight. And you know what I mean? Like, then I'll bounce. You know what I'm saying? He's at that position where, like, not only is he, you know what I mean, accomplishing what he's accomplishing business-wise, he's definitely the motherfucker. He has, like, you know, the power to do what the fuck he wants. He could fight who the fuck he wants. And pretty much dudes at a couple of weight divisions are just waiting and hoping he calls them for that fight. And, you know, that's the opposite, you know, for a lot of fighters are just, you know, stuck. Yeah, this guy's the opposite of stuck. He's out there just fighting who the fuck he wants to fight, when he wants to fight, and for a shitload of money. You know what I mean? So he's fucking winning, man. Fuck, man, I'm just hoping. Again, I just said what's next. I hope it's Caleb clipping his ass. That's what the fuck I hope is next. But
that'd be, I'm not here complaining.
Yeah, go for it.
I just wanted to ask, I've heard as well the name thrown around, Benavidez.
Yeah, it definitely better be. But to me, you know one shit that I am. Like I said, I did it with Paul Pierce and a lot of guys, right? I'm not a guy that's a fan of, like, the guy that was never in shape the whole entire fucking 15 years you were in the league kind of shit. Like, bro,
that's Benavidez?
But no. But he lost his belt on the scales before. And, like, Mikey's did that before. You know what I mean? Broner did the edge of Andre. I'm a cat that once you lose a belt, especially if you're losing a belt on the scales, that means you were at a champion level and you still weren't ready like that. Fuck out of here with that shit. I'm just not a fan of that kind of shit. And Benavidez, to me, he went way back to the fuck back of the line once he fucking lost his belt on the scales. So okay. I'm not feeling sorry for him, but I understand why people want to see the fight. This is a huge fucking guy. It's a big kid, you know what I mean? Mexican versus Mexican, it would be a big event, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I understand, but to me, I'm not one of these guys that's feeling sorry for Benavidez or saying, you know, Canelo's ducking him. Fuck no. First of all, Benavidez and Caleb Plant was supposed to be a dope-ass fight coming up. Again,
right.
Caleb Plant's not giving him a fight for that same fucking reason. You lost your opportunity, bitch. Don't come crying. Don't be calling me scared because your ass lost your fucking belt.
Your belt,
again, go back to the back of the line. That's just the way this shit goes. And
right.
But look, at the end of the day, if it happens, it would be a great fight. It just, if I'm real about it, it's just, I'm not necessarily clamoring for that one. Brandon mentioned it also in our notes, Pupu Andrade and the presser. So yes, that's a fight that people want to see. You saw what Canelo was telling them, who the fuck are you? No one knows you. Like, basically, that's how.
Who have you fought?
That's how his attitude is towards him. But I feel like I'm a Pupu Andrade fan. Again, he's an American fight, so I'm a fan of his. I do understand why Canelo acted towards him. Like, I mean, dude, this would just want to fight, just had 70,000 plus fans just going crazy for him and fucking, and you're over here trying to shit on my, in my press conference. You could miss me with that shit. I definitely understand why he was on that attitude.
Hell yeah, dude.
But at the same time, Pupu is dope and Pupu is getting avoided by a lot of fighters. And at certain times you just got to do what you got to do to get the fight. You know, sometimes you got to call a fool bitch. Sometimes you got to go to a press conference and you got to do dumb shit. To hope he pissed this fool off enough and says, fuck it, I pick you. You know what I mean? Because again, that's the level that Canelo's at right now. He's picking you. You don't get the Canelo fight. Honestly, it sounds fucked up and it's just the realness of the game. You're not earning that fight. You're getting chosen for that fight. That's where he's at right now. You know what I mean? So if you want, you know, your best chance is probably to embarrass him, walk around chasing him. So the people start saying, yo, your own fans are saying, dude, you need to fight that man and beat his ass so he shuts the fuck up. You know what I mean? That's just the route. That's the route that I feel like. So again, it's no knock for Andre for doing what he did. You gotta do what you gotta do to try to get the fight. If you feel the guy is ducking you or avoiding you, and you know, Canelo's answer talking about you're boring, that's not a good enough fucking excuse. You know what I mean? Like, but again, like if you're coming to a press conference, you know what Canelo's coming with. If you're interrupting somebody's shit, you know, he's going to get upset, of course, and he's going to tell you to fuck off and all the other shit he told you and told your dad to fuck off too. You know what I mean? So, you know, don't be shocked, but at the same time, I get it. That's dope. Go for it. Keep calling this for us. You know, okay. I want Plant. I want Charlo. I want, you know, Boo Boo. One of these fools to get him. You know what I mean? That's three American dudes right there. Whoever gets done, I'm good. So I don't give a fuck. If Boo Boo's got to do what he's got to do to get that fight, you know what I mean? Keep that shit going. Call him out on the next one. Be like, Canelo's still being a bitch, not fighting me. You know what I mean? That's what happened with Triple G, right? After Triple G, the whole thing, when Canelo had that famous line, the hemanos de mamada kind of shit. And then everybody was like, hell yeah, let's do this. But then he fought fucking Liam Smith after, and his own fans were like, nah, that ain't it, dog. You told us you were gonna fuck that fool up because he's talking too much shit. Go fuck him up. You know what I mean? And that's what you need with Andre. Like, you need the fans to say, look, man, I don't care if he doesn't earn it. I don't care if he's boring. Go fuck this fool up because he's talking too much noise. Yeah. And you know, whether you're the villain or whatever, you know, I hope the next all fights are all American dudes because that's who I want to take him down. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely want Canelo, when he goes down, I definitely want it to be at the hands of, you know what I mean, of an American. You know, so that's the way I want it to go down. So, you know, all the guys you mentioned, Ian Benavides is sense, another American dude. You know what I mean? That you just say, I'll take all of these guys over him. As far as who I think has the best chance to beat him, I'm going with Charlo. Jermall Charlo is probably the one that I feel has the best chance to beat him. I like Caleb Plant, but I do think that he doesn't have enough power to really keep Canelo off of him like that. Canelo at a certain point just kind of did with Billy. Like, if it is just a boxer part of you, he's going to eventually say, yeah, I can take all that shit all day long. I'm just going to
break you down.
I'm going to just come. Yeah, I'm going to get up in your ass and I'm just fuck you up. That's what I'm going to do. But I think Charlo has enough to just make him kind of stay the fuck back if he gets him enough. You know, but again, I'm all team Caleb Plant, and that's the one that seems like it's the next one coming.
Okay. I thought it was pretty funny in that press conference when he asked Canelo, like, who have you fought? And Canelo was like, what?
The fuck you mean who I fought for?
Yeah, you're just coming off of, like, come on now. He looked at him like, what? That's what he told you. Get the fuck out.
Like, I fought Floyd, like, a few years ago, but shit, that's all. That's all you need to know.
But look,
well, he's fine. A lot of good boxers.
But look, But going back to the Boo Boo shit, right? He is right on some of the facts where it's like, yo, he is kind of getting avoided here. Look, the Billy Joe Saunders fight. That's the fight that was signed. That was going to happen. Billy Joe Saunders failed for some fucking nasal spray, cheating ass fucking diuretic, and he got popped. That fight got pulled off. That wasn't Andre's fucking fault. Yeah. I mean, he could have already been, he could have been clipped probably Billy before fucking Canelo. You know what I mean? So I get the frustration, but at the same time, you also got to understand why the other person doesn't give a fuck about you. You know what I mean? Like, yo, my job isn't to feel sorry for Andre. My job is to make money with the best. You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm all for the people clamoring for the Charlos and Plants fights. Not so much for the, and Boo Boo definitely next after that, but not as much as the first two. And again, Benavidez at the end of the line. I'm all for it. I'm team Benavidez when that fight happens, but I'm also not feeling sorry for him when fools are not giving him that fight right now.
Right. And Benavidez can, basically can fight all of them. Like, Boo Boo,
and they're all Plant, Benavidez, and Charlo are all PBC fighters. They're in the same fucking promotional company. There's no problems to making those fights happen. Besides what I said, besides the fact that some people are like, yo, maybe fuck you, Benavidez. And especially if you are, and especially for the fools that might be scared of him. That's a big ass dude. And if you can avoid him because he fucked up, well, shit. You know what I mean? That's on him.
Yeah, you're saying Caleb next and then Charlo, or at least in the order that you would like?
Yeah, Caleb, Charlo. Well, that's also what I feel that's next. No, the order I would want it is Charlo next. Like, I just would want it to be Charlo next, straight up.
But and I then feel maybe like. Caleb?
Yeah, but I feel like, no, it's going to be Caleb, Charlo.
And then Charlo.
Yeah, and then again, what the fuck? Who the fuck? Then he could probably go back up to 175 if he does beat those two fools and then still tries to do his shit up. I mean, again, this fool's doing some crazy shit. Like, so no matter how much I don't like the guy, I do have to acknowledge that the shit that he's doing is pretty fucking epic.
You think he would get Bivol is what, light heavy?
Yeah, Bivol's the next one, 175, right? But the fight that everybody's climbing for there, and Bivol is one of them, but he's also not the one that everybody's talking about. It's more.
Mojia?
It's more, no, Mojia too, but even Mojia, no, Mojia is he's nowhere close to, like, as far as he moved up because he moved up to 160 from 154, so it's not even at 168, and he's not the type. But the fight would be at 175 with Beterbiev. Brandon might remember, like, one of our first boxing segments that we ever covered when we barely started the podcast was Beterbiev, I think. You know,
Beterbiev,
I mean?
Yeah. I remember Beterbiev or whatever.
We actually had that whole segment of is it Beterbiev or Beterbiev or whatever, you know. And I was like, I even told Brandon, I was like,
throwback stuff.
Yeah, I was like, if I want to get in my head and try to think like Russian, yeah, I think this is definitely a Beterbiev. You know what I mean? I was like, so I was like, definitely that's a route. But look, that's the guy that people feel like for sure he fucks up Canelo if he goes up there and wants to be serious at 175.
That's 175, you said, right?
Yeah, so they said like you can go
up to 175. That's a good
jump. Yeah, they feel like he can go up to 175 and beat an old beaten down Kovalev like he did. You know what I mean? That's why it's like, but feel like, but if you fight a real 175 that's ready right now and is he like Bivol or a Beterbiev, especially more Beterbiev, then you're going to get fucked up. You know what I mean? Because Beterbiev could fucking crack. You know what I mean? But at the same time, the boxing skills that Canelo's showing right now are pretty elite. So I hate the fact that I'm actually thinking that's a realistic fight. Like, honestly, I think besides me seeing some of the stuff he's doing right now, it would be a fucking no-brainer. Beterbiev beats the shit out of you. You know what I mean? But fuck, man, I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah,
I mean,
crazy. That's props in his fucking self, dude.
Right? You know, yeah. Like it's gonna be interesting to see what the route he takes, where he goes. Anything you guys want to add on Canelo before we do a quick check in on Los Toyers?
No, man. Just
no like, props.
We see what the route is. Shit, props to that big event, and
props
to boxing, man. They needed they needed back. That big event.
Yep, it's back. Sir. I don't know if it's back, but it's you know. Finally, not a Paul brother.
Exactly.
All right, so let's pull up the MLB app because I don't think even think I have it up there. I should have prepared for it.
I've been deleted that app. And you're like,
right. All right. So let's take a look at the Dodgers right now. So the Dodgers are 18-17. They're the same record as the team they're playing tomorrow, which is the Mariners. They're off, and if you look at the standings, the Dodgers are third in the West. They have fallen 3 games behind the Giants, and they're kind of struggling, you know, like they started off hot and they got a little cold and, you know, baseball's early. a lot of games. So, you know, is this concerning, or is this just kind of how it's, you know, baseball could potentially go?
Exactly.
What do you, it's a question. What do you think? Is it concerning, or is it just like baseball kind of, this is just the way baseball is?
A little bit of both. Concerning because, at least for me, because I think they're 2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah, 2-8 so in the last 10. You're right.
Right? Because I want to say I read that earlier. So that's not where you want to be on a 10-game, you know, 10-game.
Yeah.
No, 10-game record. I mean, you know, so at least a 500 still would be concerning, especially if you're defending champs. But you know, they've fallen from the, you know, one seed down to, you said, the sixth.
Wait, you I'm sorry, my say, you say it one more time.
So from in the National League, they fell from, or I mean, I know they're behind the Giants, right?
Yeah, they're third in the West. Yeah, they're behind the Padres.
Oh yeah, behind the Padres as well. Right.
Fathers, gotcha. Okay. The Fathers, of course. Everybody can't forget.
They've been playing pretty shitty baseball lately. Right, the last few games have been bad, but there's still a lot of season left.
Oh man, a lot of season. I'm not concerned at all. Like, you know, for example, the Mets right now are 16-13. They're in first place in the NL East. A week ago, it was all doom and gloom. Like, it's, you know, it's just so early in the season, and things are going to just, you know, the Dodgers are going to be fine. I have full confidence they'll be fine. Everybody's going to be good. You know, people will start hitting, and it's going to be, I don't know about back-to-back, but they have a really good shot. They got a good shot. You know, the Padres are going to be good. I don't know how I don't know anybody on the Giants anymore. You know, it's tough to remember all these players, but definitely would love to go to a Dodger game at some point soon, now that fans are allowed back in the stadium.
Yes, sir.
That'll be a lot of fun. I mean,
and the good part, like you said it earlier, it's an early fucking season. So, I mean, sucks right now. So, but like you said, hopefully by the time we get back to a Dodger game, it's getting fixed.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Exactly. And I think and that'll be a fun event for all of us to go to. Any final thoughts on the Dodgers or anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, it's an early fucking season. So for both sides of the, like, Lakers are the greatest team ever. I understand for the fools that are clowning on that. Like, they're like, yeah, whatever. But at the same time, also, like, chill out. We can still be the best team ever. Chill out. Like, you know what I mean? But hey, losing 5 series in a row isn't it. You know what I mean? That's definitely not it. They just got to get their heads up out of their ass and go ahead and play some winning fucking baseball. That's what I'll say about the Dodgers. But here's to watching the next series with the Marlins. I think the Marlins will be coming in next.
Mariners. Yeah, Chisholm.
Yeah, so let's get it done.
Let's get it done. Yep. And that's that. I do want to give a quick shout out to Rory McIlroy. He won the Wells Fargo Championship. His first win in almost 2 years. Good to see him back in the win column. And hopefully he can continue to do that more. He looked terrible at the Masters, but got it done. And looking forward to seeing more wins. Hopefully looking forward to seeing Tiger back out there on the golf course at some point in the next, like, 2 years or something like that. But anyways.
Definitely. Rory is what it is. I guess it's cool. Hey, one thing that I was going to ask you about the matter, because I don't really got much of, but I will say this. How do you feel about the Golf Super League kind of shit that they're, but you know?
I think it's going to die. I think it's going to die because nobody wants to do it. And
I think there was guys that definitely wanted to do it, but a lot of other people were against it. And I think Rory is one of the biggest guys. That's why I thought about it right now. That was like, fuck that. I'm definitely not in it. I did to that. And I think that's a good look for him.
I will say that, you will lose your PGA Tour card if you join that. So that's huge for these players. So
similar to what FIFA was doing with those teams that were trying to create the Super League as well.
At the end of the day, you're in it for the sport, because the money is probably a reason why most people would leave, but it's still not enough, right? Like, because again, losing your PGA card shouldn't matter because you're going to get paid a lot of money, but it definitely still matters to these guys because they love the fucking sport. They love the game, right? So if you're not really, You know what I mean? If you're, let's say if you're the best quarterback in the NFL and you're playing in some league that's not really the NFL and you're doing, you know, getting paid big, if you're not really playing in the league where the best players play, or, you know, you doesn't don't feel matter. Like you're, yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And I think the fact that, you know, the history and everything that you know, like golf brings to it, it's like, so you really want to go ahead and do your own shit for some, because again, the, you're still making a shitload of money here. So, yeah.
I'm curious to see what happens. Yeah, I know. I said it straight up a no, but yeah, I'm sure there are people who would be like, yeah, I'm down, you know, so we'll see. We'll see. 100%. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting us over this journey. And everybody stay safe. And hopefully we're back in action in person very soon.
Yeah, soon enough. Yes, let's go.
All right, you guys have a good night. It is almost midnight. We crush it. After Hours Sports is the definition of after hours right here.
Yes, sir.
So, all right, gentlemen, have a good night. Take it easy.
Good night.
Peace.
Later.
Peace.